Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 17th. Joining us this morning from Arcata in the fog, Karen Diemer. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It is a little bit hazy up here.
Oh, it's hazy, huh? That has a whole different connotation. All right, let's
see. Afternoon clearing for sure.
There you go. Let's see, Winston, what do you got for us this morning?
I had a good baseball one that I was going to use, but instead, we're going to go with shanty. How did shanty come to mean a tumble-down house?
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking the bar. Sorry. Particularly because we were talking about baseball coming back when the Del Grandes ran it. That was a place in Old Town for all the baseball guys to convene and talk about. Well, I guess it would be called the Hot Stove League. I don't know. This year it'd probably be called the Mosquito Repellent League. Shanty. I got to figure that it must have come from some language derivation that was, let's see, shanty would Appalachian or Italian. I'll say it's an Irish word, meaning hovel.
Nope, it started in Canada. It is the name the early French settlers gave to the hut in the forest which served as their headquarters. Here they slept and stored their tools. Shanty is a corruption of chanter.
Okay, so it was the French. I got the international part.
Up north.
Yeah. Yeah, oh well. Don't speak French either. How about you, Karen?
French-Irish, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that normally involved a conquering.
Well, probably. Yeah. It's a good thing we have other local news things to talk about, huh?
Oh, yeah. We were commenting in the office. I don't know if you heard the story that Peter had. We came upon it, not last night, but the night before, at Myrtle and Harrison. Some 23-year-old gal, I guess, got mad at the guy in front, went fast and tried to bump his bumper, but missed, went underneath. There were seven law enforcement agents there, seven different rigs. Half of them were, follow my math on this one, half were CHP and half were sheriff.
Okay.
I think that's kind of symptomatic of what is going on. How is your staff dealing with the emotional elements of this? Has there been a lot of interaction, frustration personally, or having to deal with people who are?
I think both. You know, I think overall, when we first sort of went into shelter in place mode, we started to stagger a lot of shifts. People were working nights, people were working weekends, just trying to separate staff out. Once we were able to get better, protective gear and separation spaces in place, we've ended up seeing a vast majority. We just have a small handful of staff that are still teleworking, but all of our crew staff and then, obviously all of our parks and facility staff and our police department, have been working throughout. So I think that we've been able to, as a staff team, come together around a set of protocols that have allowed people to feel safe coming to work and operating at work. But there is a lot of anxiousness, increased anxiety, loneliness that is certainly in the community, and they do encounter that when they're out and about.
One of the things that I find intriguing / disturbing is the fact that so many of the reported 175, whatever it is now, cases in Humboldt County are from people traveling out of the area, getting it and bringing it back home.
Right.
Now, with the travel season upon us, we're starting to see foreign plates, those from outside the local dealerships, mm-hmm. into the area also. Is there a heightened sense of concern from your parks department and perhaps also the police department that, as we're seeing that influx and then whatever may be happening at Humboldt State, that there's going to be a heightened level of concern, either from the structure or from those of us in the community that know that it's coming?
Yeah. I think the travelers do create a heightened level of concern for a lot of people in our community, you know, where we understand from an economic perspective that, you know, having the hotels full or near full is certainly a positive for the economy. But we really, it's hard for us to be able to message, you know, how we're managing the pandemic here in Humboldt County, which has been, I think, with much greater social distancing. We see a high percentage of people that are masking in stores, at least in Arcata, and I think throughout all of Humboldt County. And so there's just not necessarily a connection point. You know, I do believe that Humboldt State University has a good plan in terms of communicating with students. When students arrive into this area, they're, you know, quarantining and isolating on campus. They're getting their education on campus. You know, we're figuring out at that point where they're living, and at least they will be, you know, sort of taught the practices of social distancing here in Humboldt County, and have that period of isolation that we just don't have from the travelers, you know, that are coming through this region. So, yeah, I think there's concern, but what we're trying to do is focus on the pieces of that we really can control, which is supporting our businesses around masking and practices that will keep them and their employees safe and allow them to stay open. What we'd like to be able to do is show the rest of the state that there are safe ways to keep businesses open, but it does require a lot of effort from our business owners and from the community to keep employees safe.
Well, and to keep the doors open, too, with this. And I didn't really want to reference the edict. We'll do that after the break. But there certainly is another level of concern, I guess is the best word, as the governor, through his, I'm calling him his minion, the state public health officer, who is, I guess, is an appointed position from the governor, making the edict and going across the board from border to border, doesn't really seem to be in the spirit of what was, nor in the way that so many things that the state does, you know, empowering the locals to do best what they know how to do best in their position. Did that determination come as a surprise to you?
You know, I think we've seen a blend. You know, I think locally we still have the ability to put in more stringent orders if you know, our health officer here thinks that that's necessary. There's been a lot of things that we haven't lifted, not a lot, but a few things that we haven't lifted in this region that were lifted in a number of other areas in the states. You know, so I think there has, in large part, been a localized response.
And we'll continue with that when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Karen, so with the state government's edict of earlier this week, what is Arcata going to look like? Are we going to have a lot of shut down businesses? Are we going to have a lot of new approaches to business? Are some of the standards that had been employed before going to be loosened to allow some of these folks to be able to continue to be employed and continue to operate their businesses? What's it going to look like next week unless there's an injunction or this thing gets rolled back quickly?
Yeah, it seems like for the businesses that are hardest hit are our restaurants that had started to reopen, that had made modifications to allow indoor dining, and to have that, you know, basically shut down in a 24-hour notice period is probably the hardest hit right now. So the city a few weeks ago rolled out kind of a streamlined, you know, cost-free encroachment permit for restaurants that wanted to do, you know, cafe tables on the sidewalk or in parking spaces that are, you know, adjacent to their restaurants. The council, in fact, said if we had enough restaurants interested, we could close 8th Street or 9th Street on the plaza. I think they would be open to entertaining any even street closure that would facilitate, you know, several restaurants that would come together around outdoor dining. Right now, what we're seeing is those restaurants that have private parking lots, so things like the Plaza Grill, Los Bagels, Dutchie's Pizza, the Pub, are all doing pretty extensive outdoor dining in their parking lot spaces, and businesses such as the Jam and the Alibi are starting to look at trying to do what looks a little bit in Eureka like the parklets and the parking spaces of coming in with designs for some barriers to provide outdoor seating in what's currently public parking spaces.
Kind of our first effort. A little al fresco dining, basically, is what you're saying. Yeah. Well, at least it's the right time of the year for that. You know, if it gets into the winter time, that's not going to fly too much. But right now, it's kind of a nice change up.
Right now, for a few months, I think actually it's one of those things that could persist beyond COVID if restaurants and bars really have success with it. Being able to do more outdoor dining, I think it's something this community has been interested in trialing for a long time. The challenge is to do that when you're already feeling very stressed as a business. So, you know, it is forcing a little bit of innovation, but it is one piece that I think could last longer than the virus itself.
Would the city be amenable to having that kind of flexibility on a permanent basis?
I think if we see success, you know, right now, you know, our council has been very supportive of trying to figure out what are ways that we could use public right-of-way and public space to support businesses during this period. But ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what is the use that we want to see in those public spaces? And if it's bringing other positive benefits to the downtown area, then I think continuation of that would be positive for everyone.
Could you see a widening of the sidewalks against the outside of the plaza? So you still have got the sidewalk passing ability, but also have some of that buffer, if you will, for outside tables? Really something that would be permanent or?
Because I think we really could envision a lot of those types of things. You know, what I'm hearing from businesses right now is that they want to keep directly adjacent to their current business for a few reasons. One is their alcohol license has to be contiguous with their property. So the sidewalk right outside their business or the parking spaces right outside their businesses are most desirable right now. But with some long-term planning to be able to utilize, you know, a larger open space that maybe isn't contiguous is something that I think we could look at.
Is there any concern about ABC and folks like that are maybe not under the umbrella of the city for this jurisdiction, but for the local jurisdiction?
Is there concern?
Well, I'm thinking open containers in public as an example.
Yeah. Right now, it appears as though those licensees that have alcohol licenses, that have good track records, that are working with the ABC on having those measures in place, are being granted an expansion to utilize the outdoor spaces. So
okay.
I haven't heard any that have been denied yet.
So everybody's working together.
Yeah.
Is the simplest way to think of it. And retailers would have the same opportunity to kind of flow out onto the sidewalk as well?
They would, yeah. We're seeing less interest in that area. We historically have. It really does require a retailer to typically have one staff inside the business and one staff outside the business.
Right,
so I
right.
think that is the largest barrier. But it certainly is available to them if they want to do kind of permanent, you know, sidewalk sales for a few months to see if that generates some additional business.
Kind of seems like the old days, going back to the 40s and the 50s. Yeah. Now, if we start hearing discussion about a band platform on the plaza, we really are going back.
We really are going back. I wouldn't be surprised if you don't hear the discussion again.
Yeah, well, you know, it would be, some of that stuff kind of turns the city back into a quaint village. I could see some doing it permanently. Well, Healdsburg and is done that kind of thing, and they've really seen a nice rebound instead of being a community that the highway just misses. So,
One of the hard parts about COVID, obviously, has been just the huge economic sort of, dropout for the city because
right.
we did have a lot of momentum around some of the visioning on the plaza.
Well, and that again will be what we talk about when we come back. You're great at foreshadowing. It's 8:30.
Perfect.
Hi, I'm Vanessa with PG&E. If you see a down power line, stay away from it and keep others away. Call 911. Let our first responders come out and handle it. Police and fire will respond as well as PG&E. To learn more, visit pge.com/safety.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at smokeybear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Arcata City Manager Karen Diemer. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite, and Pest Control in Murphy's Markets. Karen, some of the different challenges that are out there, we were talking a little bit about future plans around the plaza before the break. Is this accelerating those planning opportunities because everybody's kind of... available to do whatever it is in the process, or is it kind of slowing things up because the monies aren't there due to sales tax and income tax? Obviously, is going to be less as well, and it's kind of a hold your breath moment.
Yeah, I love that you started with optimistic. Is it speeding things up? No, it unfortunately is not. Most of the plans associated with sort of revisioning areas around the plaza. Really, we're going to require an infusion of money. And in fact, the city had actually set aside $150,000 to assist with that. And those monies, were swept in to balance last year's budget, as the economy dropped starting in mid-March. So we will work to rebuild. It is, I think, from the standpoint of, as we've talked about this sort of outdoor vending, I think it is allowing us to trial some aspects of that were in the plan, but for things that actually required, like removing the center planter of the plaza to create more open space for bands to play or special events to happen. A lot of the visioning was to better support special events, and obviously large social gatherings aren't happening, so those are all on hold as well. So much of that work, we will continue to try to get ready to move forward, but it is going to probably be delayed a couple of years, really.
Because of the lack of demand or because of the lack of cash availability?
Just because of the lack of funds.
Yeah, because knocking down the planter is probably, you got the staff there already, or is that something that you'd have to contract out?
We would likely be contracting underneath. The planter itself would be the easy piece, but under it is all the old granite steps. So we do have a local stonemason that we're getting a bid from to see, could he remove those in a way that would allow some of that granite to be reused for different things in the community.
Oh, you almost said something there, huh? The Diemer household needs a new porch. Is that what we're getting at? I would think that some of those types of things, because of the historical value as well as just the physicalness, that there would be a secondary market for those things that people might be willing to pay for.
Yeah, we'll see, and there could be. But we also have a few projects that are happening in town. There are funds that have been approved, like the gas tax. So our gas tax funds come. They have to be used for street projects, so we do have two major street projects, Bayside Road, and then we have a project along F Street and along 11th Street that are getting, full rehab of the road and paving this year. So the little bits of state monies that are coming in for projects, we also have received several grants this last year that are able to finish some fish passage restoration projects, a new culvert, a fish-friendly culvert that we'll be putting in Arcata. And then we've received some funds to do some rehab on some of our parks, monies to start to rehab Redwood Park, and then monies to develop Shea Park, which is a small park that's near where the new Foster Avenue is in Arcata. And for those that are familiar, we've seen, you know, the most dense housing development in Arcata in the last few years has been in this region. So to be able to add a neighborhood park to that site will be really a huge benefit to that part of the community.
Is that one of the green lawn kinds of parks, or is this one that's got play toys and fields and that stuff?
This will have some play toys. It'll have a basketball court, some fitness equipment. So kind of geared. There's a lot of student housing in that area. So the park, you know, a little bit more geared towards older kids and actually, you know, young adults.
So the dinosaur climbing toy won't be there?
We all still miss it, don't we? Maybe we could have a return of the dinosaur climbing toy to Redwood Park and its vision there.
Yeah, well, versus one of those rock walls that has those handhold things that seem to still be in fashion. I've never figured.
They do. The big push that we have in Arcata, because we have so many young people that are taking on mountain biking, because we have great trails in the region, but is to put in what they call a pump track. So it's kind of a skills. It's a, you know, an enclosed area with built-in, you know, jumps and bumps and trails and curves, so that, you know, kids and adults alike can learn how to ride on the trails before they're actually, you know, at that 45-degree incline, trying to wonder how they're going to get to the bottom
safely
back out the woods. yeah, and it'll be fun. So I mean, it'll be a fun thing to be able to watch, and for folks to build their skills before they head up into the trail. So that's the piece that we'll work on final design for Redwood Park this year.
Is the skateboard park and the tennis court still being used to the same extent as they were?
Absolutely. So, and we, I guess, sort of felt that pressure when everything went into closure. The skate park was probably the hardest park to close. Still had a lot of people jumping the fence and utilizing. It was probably the only area in town that we really came the closest to doing any real enforcement around shelter in place. And then the tennis courts was probably one of the areas that we received the most calls to say, can you reopen for singles only? You know, can you reopen at all? So, yeah, we're still seeing really high demand. The other piece that's on a lot of the tennis courts is, you know, we have painted lines for pickleball. So we also see a lot of pickleball that's played up on the tennis courts.
Yeah, we just had one of those folks walk through here. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
pickles are supposed to be dill and they're supposed to be eaten. Thank you. It's over. Next.
You haven't tried pickleball? Is that it?
I don't have a clue about it. I think croquet is going to happen for me and bocce ball before pickleball.
All right.
Call me a traditionalist, huh? And what an eye-opening statement that is, huh? KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer. Karen, the enrollment projections currently for Humboldt State, obviously they're not going to be what they were last year or what everybody was hoping that they would be prior to this whole situation. How dramatically has that impacted and will impact the budget for city and as well as for the community? I know you have those economic numbers available.
We do, and we've really been looking to try to figure out what is the student component of Humboldt State University in terms of just straight sales tax for the city. It's been a hard number for us to derive. We obviously made real sort of significant decreases in the projections for this year. Humboldt has now since then been approved for a hybrid learning platform. So they anticipate bringing 1,000 students that will be back on campus and potentially, you know, I would say another 400 to 800 students that would be living off campus in housing that the university has secured. They're also estimating somewhere, I'm going to say, around 3,500 students that either remained in this area when they went into shelter in place in March, or would be, you know, juniors and seniors returning to this area that have jobs and more connections here maybe than anywhere else right now. So, you know, where I'm anticipating probably about a 25% decrease in student population over last year, and we will see how that plays out. For Arcata, we're starting to track monthly our sales tax, and it appears to be the one sector that is really balancing things for us is construction and building. We've had one of our highest years of record for building permits issued this last fiscal year that just ended June 30th. And then our two largest projects that we've seen in, you know, probably over a decade, and the Open Door Clinic project coming online this year, and then the 44 units of affordable housing on the old Isaacson's lot that's under construction right now. So those two projects, in addition to a lot of additional secondary housing units that people are building and tenant improvements still within the cannabis innovation zone, do seem to be significantly helping the city in terms of sales tax and some of the declines we're seeing from the lack of student population.
During one of the breaks, yeah.
What's that?
During one of the breaks, we had talked about the status of Big Blue. Yeah, that was a significant event last year. You want to give us an update on those guys?
Yeah. So all of the there was Big Blue Cafe and several other businesses. All of the businesses other than the Big Blue Cafe have been restored, and the spaces are eligible to be reopened, and the businesses are working on that. The plans to restore Big Blue Cafe have come into the city and are in that final stage of approval. So we do expect that will be under construction as well within the next month here. We have been working predominantly with the building owner to get the building back up to code, but we do understand from talking to the owner that they are still in contact with the cafe owners who do plan to reopen. So that'd be really exciting to see is a stronghold. I think people are still really missing that breakfast, especially the breakfast outlet.
Well, and another food choice on the plaza. That will be cool. Enjoy your weekend.
Yeah. All right, you too.
Thanks for popping in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, see everybody tomorrow morning.